This is Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. I hope you're making your way into the fall season or late summer, wherever that is for you now. Later in this episode, here's some tips for maintaining focus and stress at work in this new normal. But first, our news. The FDA has expanded the use of remdesivir for COVID-19 treatment. It is now being used for all hospitalized coronavirus patients, not just those who are on ventilators or oxygen therapy. Peer-reviewed data indicates the median recovery time for coronavirus patients who received remdesivir was 11 days, compared to 15 days for those who received a placebo. Lack of touch has impacted mental health during the pandemic, so experts are suggesting ways to embrace as safely as possible. So how unsafe is a simple hug during these times? An article in The Guardian says to wash your hands and plan ahead. Experts also advise making sure your faces are turned away from each other if you aren't wearing a mask already. Hold your breath and make it quick. Molly Rosenberg at the Indiana School of Public Health found that those who frequently hugged, kissed, or met up with friends and family in lockdown were 26% less likely to report symptoms of depression and 28% less likely to report loneliness, regardless of whether they were married or cohabitating. The CDC and other federal government agencies are starting the National Wastewater Surveillance System to monitor how coronavirus is spread in communities. Experts say the virus can be shed in the feces of individuals with symptomatic or asymptomatic infection. Monitoring wastewater will allow officials to see how COVID-19 is spreading in communities as a whole and allow them to understand data in places where coronavirus testing is limited or not used enough. The CDC has tested sewage in the past to detect other diseases such as polio. The past couple months, almost a year now, has been an emotional roller coaster for the American workforce. The pandemic has created enduring changes to the way we live and work, which has inevitably caused a lot of fear, confusion, and stress for people at all levels of business. Whether you are in an office or working at home, productivity is impossible when you are riddled with anxiety or struggling to adapt to the rapidly changing circumstances. Joining us today is Anish Chaudhry. He is the founder of Soul Physio Lifestyle, a brain health clinic and integrative healthcare network, and will share practical tips to manage stress, maintain focus, and cope with the new pressures of work life. Let's talk about the most obvious. It's hard enough to focus on anything these days, let alone work. How can people focus on work during all this COVID anxiety and stress?
That's a great question. It is a very, very tough and unique times these days. And there's a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot more stress than normal. I mean, I think even pre-COVID, there was a lot of that already existing. And now I think the biggest thing that I've been hearing from people, and I just know for myself that we all have, is the fear of the unknown. And that's just not really knowing what's happening next. So I think that it's one of those things that it doesn't make sense to really stress so much about what the future is going to look like and do our best to keep our mind present in the here and now, because things are changing by the day and it is extremely stressful. And one of the things that I recommend people is to not get glued to the TV watching news all the time, because things are changing by the minute, and it's good to stay educated. And I'm not saying don't do that. But then when we continue to take in that type of messaging, it can ultimately create more stress as opposed to if we just, get the daily updates and then just move on with our day from there.
Talk about the new pressures of work life and how people can cope with all of these new systems and whatnot.
Well, people, it's tough because we're so used to the whole scenario in the past of, we wake up in the morning, we go to work, our children go to school, and then we all come home at night. So those were all three different places. And now the schools, as most of them are closed, some reopening to some degree, and a lot of the offices still have people working from home. So what were once three separate places are now all one place, with parents having to be, watching their children at home too. So it adds new layers of stressors, and I think it's extra important for parents to be taking care of their health at this point, finding times to make sure they're exercising, making sure they're eating a healthy diet, cooking at home, and ultimately keeping the children entertained to the best of their ability and keeping them hopeful and positive that this will pass. And it's really not going to be the end of the world, as it may seem for some people. So I think that those are all good points to keep in mind to get us through this time.
How about HR teams and leaders? How can they proactively help employees manage their mental health right now?
So HR, I believe, has an evolving duty to, of course, their whole thing is to be the advocates for the employees and their well-being when they're in the office, but now comes a new set of challenges. And I believe that HR is going to have to become innovative and finding ways to provide resources for their employees' mental health, because I believe that if they don't, then there is going to be an emergence in the coming months and even years of more mental health cases if they're not properly managed. And we already know that it's going to be affecting company performance to some level, and COVID's already had a very strong economic impact on companies as a whole. So I think companies being proactive and finding, you know, different solutions to educate their employees about the importance of taking care of their mental health and encouraging them to do so, and actually creating time throughout the day and placing, of course, we know we have to get things done, but how we schedule, like, okay, you know, you have to check in with your boss by the end of the week to get your report in. Part of that conversation should just be a simple 5 minutes, like, hey, how are you doing? Talking about that, like, what have you done for yourself this week? Because then it's like takes the pressure off the work and places more emphasis on the employee's mental health.
Now, everyone seems to be working from home these days. What if you have kids or roommates? How do you maintain your focus and productivity with all of these distractions while working at home?
You know, that's a great question. It's not an easy thing to do because, say we do have multiple roommates and it is a small apartment, because I know there's many younger people that are in that situation. It's not easy for anybody going through that. And I think really creating boundaries with people, of course, if they're of age, and then if they're children, spending time with the children, like really finding time to create healthy boundaries. Like if you have a spouse, like, you know, if there's something you really need to get done, make sure that they're available for the child. Like if there's two parents working at the same time and they just kind of leave the child on their own, it's not going to be healthy for the mental health of the child. So I think it's really just about creating structure and making sure they're catering to the needs of the children. And then in cases where there are roommates, then really just having an open dialogue around creating boundaries about, you know, perhaps having quiet time certain times, having eating time at certain times. I just think really communication is going to be our best friend to get through this.
It feels like this new life, you know, isn't going to be going anywhere anytime soon. So can you talk about the lasting impact COVID-19 has now and will have on mental health?
There's going to be a lot of trauma that's resulting from all of just what's been happening through 2020 and beyond. So I know there's been people talking about what is a COVID brain and that, like, the way our brain processes experiences, memories, emotions, and feelings is that the memories that become supercharged with emotions, and there are people experiencing a wide range of intense emotions right now, tend to stick around for longer periods of time. Like, you know, we may remember happy times as a child, we have happy memories. We may remember, you know, tougher times in our lives, we usually recall tougher memories. And so there's a whole process of going through, like, therapy and journaling and meditation and yoga and different ways to be able to release that trauma that happens. And I think we have to ultimately realize that we can't just expect this to go away and that we'll be the same. Like, we're going to have to do things to be able to acclimate to whatever this new normal that we speak of looks like in the future. And know that there are a lot of people out there that are going to be in the same boat of being traumatized to whatever their experience is. And I think forming communities around, you know, just talking about how COVID has impacted us, putting it out there, not being afraid to talk about it, is really going to be what we need to make sure that we can really process and recover from all of the experiences that we're going through right now.
Wrapping up here, isolation is, of course, a big issue with people who are, you know, too scared to go out into the world. Give us some mental health tips for summer social distancing and just, you know, dealing with balancing isolation and going out too much.
Right. So, of course, we have to take our precautions when we're going out into public places. And one thing I've been doing, like, I mean, I purposely avoided that. I mean, I live in Southern California by myself normally, and I've actually come back to the Midwest for the past few months just to be with family during this time, because I know if I were isolated, it would take a serious toll on me mentally. And so what my family and I have been doing is, like, we, with family friends, is that we typically just get together in the back patio, sometimes wearing masks, sometimes not wearing masks, just based on the number of people that are present. And, you know, we have food, snacks, some people may have a glass of wine, and that way we still get that social connection, even if it's once a week. I mean, obviously going out to large gatherings is just not an option at this point, because it seems that we're approaching what could be a second wave, and to whatever degree that is. I mean, every state's handling it in a unique way, but I think that it's also important to be getting on Zoom calls with people too, and not just for work. Like, I think there can be social Zoom calls, and really just doing our best to keep in touch with people without compromising our health and our well-being in the process.
Great. Anish, is there anything else you want to add that I didn't ask about?
You know, I think that's it. I mean, I think that like the last points that I'll add in is that it's really just important to prioritize our health and our well-being, and just don't be afraid to talk about it. I mean, the whole mental health being a stigma and being a weakness is just simply not true. I mean, we talk about physical health so often with exercise and wanting to lose weight, getting in shape, and that's just such commonplace talk. But then when we talk about our emotions and our feelings, it can be perceived as weakness. And I think that that's one thing that I'm really urging my clients and the people I work with, and just, you know, in the speaking engagements that I do, is just really urging people that talking about mental health is not a weakness. It's actually a strength, because that's ultimately what's going to get us through it, is speaking it out loud, you know, writing about it, talking to people about it, and acknowledging its presence, and knowing that there is really no weakness or no shame in doing so, and that it's actually a sign of strength. So that's really my two cents on the matter.
For more information, visit soulphysiolifestyle.com. This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly. Contact us with questions or give us some feedback at COVID-19@radiomd.com. I'm Caitlin White. Stay safe and stay 6 feet apart.